like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello, true romance listeners. This is Devin Leary.
And this is Carolina Barlow.
Today on the pod, we have a very exciting gift for you. We happen to be joined by one of Variety's 10 comics to watch for 2022. So, yeah, not only watch, but listen. How about that? 10 comics to listen.
Yeah. Why do you have to just watch me? What about listen for once in your GD life?
She is a comedian you may recognize from HBO's The Garcias and Entre Nos. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but like I also didn't go to college, but so that's okay. She's also in Comedy Central Stand Up Presents, This Joka on the Roku channel. Love the Roku channel. Love the purple aesthetic. She was also on A Little Late with Lily Singh. Maybe you saw her somewhere around this little globe performing live opening for Chelsea Handler on the 2022 Vaccinated and Horny tour. She also has a comedy album, My Birthday's Tomorrow, which is one of the best names I've ever heard. And she has a podcast called I'm Not Busy. Please welcome Vanessa Gonzalez.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me.
I haven't done an intro in a while, so I was bumping up a little bit.
I thought you did a good job.
Okay, thanks.
That was amazing. Yeah, I feel so pumped.
Great.
You don't sound pumped.
I'm pumped. Yeah, sounds good.
I'm a little pumped.
No, I actually, Vanessa, I found your comedy on Chelsea Handler's Dear Chelsea podcast. I listened to your episode and then I started listening to your podcast. And I have to say, you have one of my favorite voices and like cadences of all time.
It's
like,
true.
I just love listening to you talk about anything.
It's melodic. Like, it brings my blood pressure down.
It's I've been told I've been called sleepy and I
That's my
feel
new
like
Ryan
my,
bio.
Yeah, my younger brother, his name's Homer. Hi, Homer.
Homer, you're probably even, listening. Shut up.
He's even like sleepier than I am. So we're both very just like chill, sleepy vibes.
Love that.
I love that.
Really love that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get something out of the way. Since I did listen to your podcast, many episodes, and you have an incredible episode about J-Lo. And there is an elephant in this room to all those listening, I'm sure, which is that this past weekend, I don't know when this episode will come out, but today what has just come to pass is the second wedding. Wait, did they get married before? Second wedding.
They just got their second wedding in Georgia. I have heard that it was on a plantation. I hope to God this is not true. I hope to God
I mean, if anyone can do that, she can, and it's fine. It's not Blake Lively, you know what I mean? Like,
I had no idea they got married again.
They did at a place in Georgia. Which, listen, I've been on this journey with them since I was 13, and so I literally thought, oh, where they almost owned a house together. They were going to live there after they initially got married.
I didn't know that, actually.
Wait, so did they somehow get divorced in this small time and then married again, or this is just another wedding?
This is just like another wedding. Like, they did the, so this is what was confusing for me. So they got married in Vegas, and I was like, oh, okay, right. Like, there, I was like, this actually goes against my theory, because it seems like it's not like a publicity thing if they're doing like a, I mean, quiet. I did have to like join J-Lo's newsletter to get the pics, and like, it was posted everywhere. In a sense, it was private. But then their honeymoon, they were doing these constant like paparazzi walks, like slowly outdoors getting photographed. And now they're doing like the biggest celebrity wedding, and like Page Six somehow got the photo. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, what is this about, you guys? And like, Casey Affleck didn't go, and his mom, like their mom was hospitalized, and I don't know.
Okay, honestly, Casey Affleck, that's a whole other topic in the fact that he's dating a 23-year-old, and his Instagram captions are so repulsive. But my favorite is that he writes this awful long Instagram caption to his 23-year-old girlfriend to celebrate their 1-year anniversary. And he goes, He goes, we've had so many ups and downs this year. I was like, oh, yeah, it's famously, you know, hard dating a 23-year-old girlfriend. It was nothing going on in her life.
He's like the worst case brother-in-law I think you can have.
He is. Well, you know what? He is. Right? He is so well cast as a bad brother-in-law.
Yes.
He's not like a starring guy. He's not the star of any picture. I mean, Manchester by the Sea, but talk about sleepy.
He is so, it is so classic too, that it's like, I have a sense that maybe J-Lo would have some issues with the dating of the 23-year-old. She does have kids that are like sort of close to that age, you know? And so that is just such a move to be like, oh, you're dating one of the most iconic women of all time, big bro. Well, guess what? I went on OnlyFans and I found myself a youngster,
a kid
in a crop top.
That's what they be doing now.
They do be
what
doing
are
that.
They do? Why?
I don't know. It's hard.
It's like there's so many J-Lo's out there, you know?
I know. And it just, it really upsets me, because I went on Daily Mail to see like what were the highlights from the wedding, like news stories. And they posted something about A-Rod. And I'm like, the fact that this woman felt the need to ever stoop to that level, and then afterwards to be like, okay, I guess the best I can do is like my ex, who is an alcoholic with a bad facelift. And that's just so sad. That's just sad.
Like, Ben's facelift is really bad.
Yeah. People are like actively sending me clips of him speaking Spanish.
Okay.
Like,
I know.
That was impressive. And
okay. I did say that. I came home and to my roommate, I go, did you see the video of Ben Affleck speaking Spanish? And she goes, he's one of the most interesting celebrities of all time. And I was like, honestly, that is true. Like, he's so basic, but yet so it's like everything is like, wait, what happened?
Vanessa, be honest, do you speak better Spanish than Ben Affleck?
No.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. And you know what? That's why it's upsetting. Because I was like ready to like laugh at it.
Me too. I think we all were.
Like,
and he was so chill.
Like, going.
Yeah.
But it's like so cringe. Like, the better he is at it, it's like, no. It's so uncomfortable.
Remember when he did that video, like when it went viral, that he sent a video to a girl on a dating app that was like, hey, why didn't you match me, or why didn't you call, like,
me?
Who is this person? Who is this?
He's so interesting. The thing about the Spanish that threw me was that he has such aggressive white male energy that to me, I was like, why didn't we know about this before? Because to me,
it's scary.
That is the kind of person who, like, at Chipotle, to like the white guy slinging rice and beans would be like, muchos gracias. Like, yes. And be like, oh, yeah. Sorry. Like, yeah. I do not speak Spanish. Whew. This is not how they do it in Tijuana. Like, I'm sure he would have, like, just completely, like, white-splained.
Yeah. And, like, he, like, throws in, like, slang and, like, accent. Like, he's for real, like, going in for the Spanish-speaking roles, I think.
And I've heard some of J-Lo's Spanish songs, and I know that he speaks better Spanish than her.
Oh, yeah. But that's the thing, too, where I'm like, she's not even that good at this. Where is he picking this up? I was like, oh, maybe she taught him. But it's so bizarre. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's like in Men in Black, you know, where they say, like, aliens are among us.
Oh.
That's Ben Affleck. That's Ben
Wait,
Affleck.
That actually does make total sense. Also, yeah. Like, Vanessa, you guys said on your podcast that J-Lo has like a huge
ass.
So you guys actually said famously that she has a huge ass, and no one's ever said that before. Yeah. No, but you said that she has a bigger following globally. So maybe you're right that Ben is like, okay, if this is a publicity stunt, and I think like it's one of those things where it's like they do love each other and there's like this lust going on, but it's also for publicity.
I don't think it's consciously for publicity. I think that they are both in love. I think they've always been in love. I will.
No, they haven't always yes, been they in have. Love. It Devin. Doesn't work like that,
well,
Carolina.
You don't even know. We're both single right now. What the hell do we know about any of this?
I know
they're
that
happened together on their plantation in Georgia.
I know people move on. That's what I know.
Yeah, and then they move back together. Thank God.
But I don't think when she married Mark Anthony that she was like, I'm still in love with Ben, but I have to just marry this person. Like, I think
Dumois
she was,
says that's. That's true. Dumois has
Dumois been proven to be like an NYU grad who like lives in Gramercy? Like,
that doesn't mean they're wrong.
I don't know if we need to trust them.
I feel like Mark Anthony was solely for the DNA. Like, she was that, like, I can sing okay, so I need someone that can really sing.
Yes.
So my kids can sing.
And Max can sing. Is that her name, Max?
Oh yes. No, that is her brother's name. Her name's M.
Oh, okay.
And she's very cool.
But yeah, I don't understand. Like, especially when you're J-Lo, like, yeah, when do you have like downtime, like yeah. Boyfriend, husband time?
Yeah.
It seems like it all has to be like organized and like, did y'all see Marry Me?
No, I've been busy. I haven't had time to watch the worst movie in history, as some people are calling it.
Well, I saw it on an airplane, which is that's the
perfect.
Only way to see it.
Yeah, that's
my
perfect.
Friend just told me they did the exact same thing. What did you think?
Yeah, well, that's what I was like, this is her life probably, where it has to be manufactured and like organized
mm-hmm. yeah.
Romantic time.
Yeah.
No, it was bad, but I feel like for me, for a J-Lo movie, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I do love a J-Lo movie. I'm sure I'll like it. We mentioned it on the podcast, and then like briefly, and then my grandma Judith Howe, who listens to every episode, watched it, and she's like, so I watched the movie, like, what did you think? I was like, oh, I just kind of like made a joke about it, but I didn't actually watch it yet. And she was like, it wasn't very good. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Sounds good.
And there's like songs, fake songs.
Oh,
well, maybe they're real songs, but they seemed fake.
they seemed like a simulation.
Like how an Oscar-winning like songwriter wrote the song from Shallow that Lady Gaga, her pop song, that's like, why would you do that, do that, do that, do
oh
that,
my
do
God.
That to me? Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
That's a fake song.
That's a fake song.
Yeah.
I forgot
Why
about that.
You come on in here with an ass like that.
Yeah. I'm like, were you in a rush?
Wait, why was she also wearing an outfit from like Ricky's, like old school Ricky? Like it was like a diamond studded bra from like Spencer's Gifts. Yeah. And she was like, all right, got my SNL outfit on. Like, let's go.
Yes.
That was tough.
It was
but you
old
know what?
School Gaga.
Yeah. It was Stephanie Germanotta.
Oh, Steph.
Yes.
I'm Italian. Watch Ben Affleck speaks like amazing Italian too.
I'm sure. He's like, buongiorno.
Better than
a
that.
Pizza. That's my Italian.
I want true romance.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now? Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vanessa, you have a partner. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
It sounds passive aggressive.
That's amazing.
Congrats.
Yeah,
I
know. Yeah, congrats.
We're thanks. Happy for you.
So how's that? Sure, it's really nice to say goodnight to someone every night.
Y'all are mad.
Okay, you're good at reading people.
But all of that aside, you have a partner, and that's beautiful, and we are happy for you. Yeah. And you famously met online, which is even more rare and more congratulatory worthy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we met on OkCupid. And before that, I was working at a daycare, and then I would go do comedy at night. And so I was like, you know, dating and hooking up with comics, which was awful.
Darkness.
Yeah, it was a dark time.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I can't meet anybody outside this bubble. I got to do the apps.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of trial and error. And then he came along and yeah, it's been good.
It's cool to see the rewards of like resilience and dating online. Cause I feel like, I don't know if you had this experience. Like I went on one OkCupid date in 2011 and I was such a bad, it was one of those dates where, you know, when you shake hands with someone and you're like, I will never kiss you. Like never mind have sex with you, but like, well, we're never touching beyond this point. And I spent 3 hours with him cause I don't have healthy boundaries and I didn't know how to be like, I have to go.
Yeah.
And so then I just like took a break from the apps. But I'm one thing I'm really inspired by Devin by is that she's kind of like, all right, I got to do if I want this.
Get right back on that horse.
God, a lot of these. It's pretty hard work.
Yeah. And it's exhausting. I did the whole thing where like I deleted it.
Yeah.
I was like doing a lot of like, yeah, dates. They were bad dates or like I would have like one night stands, which I was like all for. But then some guys would hook up and then they'd never text me again. I'm like, well, then I'm done with this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I turned it back on and my boyfriend was the first one who messaged me back. Oh. And I was very like, what? What do you want? And he's like, oh, you seem nice. I'm like, oh, I bet I do. I bet I do.
You slow clap. Oh, wow. Can't wait to see what you have up your sleeve, Mr. Right. Man.
Yeah. I was very like angry. And then he was like, I was like, yeah, I do comedy, whatever. And I
was just like, that I angry show. The whole day.
Yeah.
I'll have a side of fries.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I have a show tomorrow. And he's like, oh, would it be weird if I came? And I was like, I literally don't care. And so
I don't care if you die tomorrow, man.
I'm like, I don't know you. That was like my approach coming back in was like, I can't care about these people.
Right, right.
They're all bots. And
they're all Russian bots.
And then he came to the show and he was nice. And then we had our first date after that. And then we kept hanging out. And that was the weird thing was like that caught me off guard was I was like this. Because he's my first boyfriend. I've never had a boyfriend mm-hmm. before that. It was always just like hookups and like things, bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just threw me off that I'm like, he keeps texting me and wanting to hang out. This is weird. Suspicious. This is something's wrong.
Yeah.
This is wrong.
He's trying to get you into a cult. Isn't that interesting? Right. That's like our response to like responsible. Even though Devin and I were talking about it, like, I expect her to text me back. I expect her to, like, call me once in a while just to see how things are doing. Like, But when a guy does that, I'm like, okay, take it easy.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And, yeah, but I love that he wanted to come to your show. That's, like, to me, such a good sign of someone who, like, wants to actually get to know you.
Yeah, it was so nice. And, like, I make fun of him now because in the beginning, you know, I was doing a lot of like sketch shows and stand up and stuff. And I would always be like, yeah, you don't have to buy a ticket. And he'd be like, no, I'm going to buy a ticket. Aww, I want to support the arts, but you will not buy a ticket now.
You're like, I'm about to do a show in Elysian Park where like someone's dressed as a juggalo. But yes, thank you for supporting the arts of this country.
Yeah.
But yeah, he won't buy a ticket now. Now he's like, well, if there's no comps, I'm going to stay home.
Fair. When you're dating someone in comedy.
Is that nerve-wracking? Like, I feel like I would feel so nervous. I feel nervous even just like having a podcast that like if I match with someone on an app that they'll see like I have a podcast like and listen. And I'm like, oh, what if they don't like it? Is it nerve-wracking to do stand-up when you know like a date or a possible crush is there?
I feel like I would be nervous when I was like dating or like hooking up with other comics.
Yeah.
That got me in my head, but I was like, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. I think once we kept on dating and then I started liking him.
Yeah.
Then I started being nervous. But because I was such in a bitter place when he first hit me up that I was like, whatever, dude, I'll never talk to you again. So that kind of helped me push through that fear. But yeah, it is nerve-wracking, especially if it's a crush and you're like, ugh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, totally. You guys have been together 8 years. Am I right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It'll be 8 years this December.
What are we doing? Just kidding.
I know.
What are we doing? What are we doing for it? Long distance for 2 years.
Yeah, I moved to LA in 2018, you know, to follow my dreams. And then I was there for 2 years and he was about to like make the jump with me. But then the pandemic hit. So I moved back home.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. It was good because he kept, he was about to quit his job. But his job kept us afloat, kept me afloat for the pandemic.
Yeah, it's so fun. Do you remember that period? And Devin, I know you went through it too, where it's like, I feel like this might last longer than a month. So like, maybe I should go home. And I remember when Devin was trying to decide whether to leave LA. And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, you're always welcome to my house, as if that's going to keep her afloat. She's like, I think I might go back.
Did you go back?
Yeah. So like, I basically moved to LA, quote unquote, temporarily for a job. And then I started dating someone in LA and I was like, I think I'm going to sign a lease. Like, kind of makes sense for my career. Right. And then I did. Then we broke up and then I just started dating someone who lived in New York. And I was like, I'm thinking about maybe
the Big Apple's calling me back.
I was like, you know where, you know where show business also is New York
Broadway.
City. So that's kind of been a pattern. But I also moved home during the pandemic because I was just like, I don't know if I can be like alone in an apartment for indefinite time, which I'm glad I did. But I also was in a long distance relationship and it was hard for me, I think, because of my like tendency to be so like overly enmeshed in relationships, which I'm working on in therapy. But it was hard to like have like these really intense weekends where it was like, you know, honeymoon phase, excitement, amazing, and then like leave. And then I was like, oh, this is a huge come down.
Yeah, for sure. That was the hardest part for me too. And I think leading up, like, so we dated for like 3 months and I was like, you should move in. And he did. He did not run away.
This is crazy. Yeah. I'm like nodding along. Like, I would absolutely and do all of that.
He did. And then so we like moved like real fast. And I was like, oh, my God, this is great. I didn't realize, but I'm like, oh, we're codependent.
Yeah.
Like, real bad. So I was excited to like kind of, you know, we were together for a while and then we did long distance. And I was like, yeah, maybe this is good because I can just like focus on my shit and you could be home and focus on your shit. But yeah, it was hard. We were, I guess, 4 years in. I don't know math. I don't know how much time has passed, but we were together for a while and then we did the long distance. And yeah, it was kind of hard to like heal or work through that codependency by just like separating.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I know for me, like long distance and codependency has given me this feeling when I'm in relationships where I'm lonely than I would be if I were single, if the other person isn't there. So
yeah.
I'm like, I will be out at a party. And I mean, we've all been party single and it sucks sometimes. But when you're at a party and your ex isn't, or your current partner isn't there, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I am in so, I'm so sad. I'm so sad. And, or even just like going to get breakfast, like, oh, I'm just missing this person. And there's only so much texting that can make me feel like they're there. But it's interesting. I feel like it does say a lot about the health of a relationship when they can like make that work. Because when two people can sort of be like, how are we going to do this together? That will get us through it.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, we were like apart for 2 years back and forth, like visiting each other, and then the pandemic hit, and then we were right back to just us, no one else, because you know there's a virus. And then I'm like, oh well, now we're back where we started.
Right
Codependency.
yeah
So I think the pandemic also like gave me social anxiety.
Oh my God.
More than I already had. So then I'm like, well, you have to come with me everywhere I go because you're a buffer. I can't want to go alone.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to go alone sometimes. And I'm like, no.
You're a monster.
Yeah. I know. It is genuinely hard to like go to stuff single, like especially when you've been in a relationship. It's like so hard to just go and be like, yeah, so there's just going to be moments where I'm going to be standing alone and people are, or I'm going to be in a conversation and the people want to leave the conversation. And I don't know how to get out because I don't have a thing to be like, I'm going to go find my like person. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's also, yeah, it's interesting about long distance. I was talking to a friend about relationships and she was saying like, basically, the only thing that's required is like two people being willing to work on themselves and the relationship, like just willing to be like, oh, okay, there's an issue. Like, let's move forward. Of course, that's not like the only thing, but that's definitely like necessary. And I feel like long distance is like a little bit of extra work, but it also can show you if someone is not willing to do that, which I've experienced is like kind of like being in a long distance thing where it's like, okay, so this is going to take a little bit extra, like we're just gonna have to like plan times to talk on the phone, and like we're gonna have to like show each other more affection via text and stuff, and like the other person just like not being willing to do that at all, like it like exposed an issue that was already there that I like maybe wouldn't have even realized, or like wouldn't have come to a conclusion about as quickly.
Yeah, it does take a lot of compromise, and like you saying like it exposes stuff, it's like it's so true, like that's when you see, oh, I'm the only one doing shit, or they're not, or it, especially with like a time difference, like LA and New York, it's like you gotta figure shit out and be like J-Lo and organize times.
What do you and your partner do? Like, cause I know you were touring a lot recently, like that must be a really hard thing to schedule around. Do you guys have any tips or go-tos that you do to get through those times?
Well, we do FaceTime every day, or, you know, no matter where I am, if I'll like make time to FaceTime him. But, and like, he'll to like, if I'm going to like a fun place, he'll be like, well, I'll go too. And that's nice. But yeah, if I'm going to be in like, you know, Reno, Nevada, and then he's like, I'm good.
I'm good. I have an appointment.
Right. But yeah, I feel like a lot of like with the codependency shit, for me, it revealed like, oh, I'm like, I'm putting a lot of my insecurities on him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's, you know, I understand there's like people that don't work in the relationship, but I'm like, oh, he's doing the work, but I'm still like, it's not enough.
Right.
You need to be here, you know? So then I had to, with therapy, kind of face that of like, why don't I like believe him? Mm-hmm. Or I like, he's like, I love you, I want you, and I'm like, no. No, you don't. You're gonna reveal,
right?
You're gonna come to any second now. And he's like, why don't you believe me? So I realized that I needed to work on my shit, mm-hmm. and like my insecurities, and with therapy that's been super helpful. And now when I travel, it's just like letting myself feel like that security of like, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, he's at home playing the Switch. You're, you know, he's with the dog.
Right.
And you're going to do your show and like be in the moment and like live over here. Enjoy what the hell you're doing and not just trying to find shit to be upset about. Cause I was good at that.
Yeah.
I think we can both identify with that. And I think it's interesting. It's hard if you've been in situations where someone was saying like the right things and not following through with the behavior. And I think that's why we're kind of like in these, we are, at least any woman I know who's had experience dating is kind of like trying to poke holes in men's stories when they say stuff like that. Because I've definitely been with guys who have like said all the right things and not just like not gone the extra mile that I was going for the relationship. But it is so weird. I have had experiences of dating someone where I've stopped waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it's really nice. And you can get so much done. I mean, I always talk about my famous nice boyfriend Yoni on the pod, because he was my nice boyfriend. And I remember just being like, I can have a career. I have so much time. I'm not worried about this person cheating on me.
Right.
I can literally like just go be on my merry way and be with my friends at night and not like worry about what he's going to do because I'm not giving him attention. And it's such a blessing.
Yeah, I was hard on myself. Like, why am I like this? Why do I want to poke holes? And it's like, oh yeah, duh, because men are trash and they've lied. They've lied to me before, or like they led me on. I'm like, oh yeah,
totally.
It's always been something else. So when someone's like, hey, I'm not going to do that, I don't believe you. Sorry.
I already am like expecting issues in my next relationship. Like I already know I'm going to be suspect. I already know it's going to like take a second for me to like trust someone again. And it's honestly, I feel the exact way. I'm like, I'm not going to judge myself for it. I'm set up that way. I've been dumpster diving for too long.
Yes.
So you guys met on the apps, but this was OkCupid. I mean, these were back in like 2011
early days.
Do you have app envy? My friends and relationships will like sometimes like being on my phone to go through the apps and play it like a video game.
That's fun. I do. I feel like the fun ones are like Grindr. I like to see like my friends on Grindr and I'm like, oh, this is fascinating. But not so much for the straight ones. I'm like, yeah, I already know what that is.
Nothing new there. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, whatever app it is, I just went for the free one. And that one was, you know, the same results, I think.
I feel like every episode I have to, like, say something awful or, like, horrible that I saw on the apps that week. But I don't know how to feel about this because I saw one guy today. It was one of the apps that has, like, the prompts. And so there's, like, one of the prompts is, like, my red flag is, but like almost everyone answers it as a joke. Like, my red flag is I, like, don't finish all my seltzer cans or like something. Obviously that's not a joke because it's not funny because I thought of it, but like it's stupid stuff like that. And I open it today. I see this guy, he wrote, my red flag is that I'm a sex and love addict and I have to like be really like this long thing. I have to be really careful because I develop feelings too quickly. And I was like,
you're right. That is a red flag.
either
your red flag is that you put that on your online dating profile.
Either this man is like Nathan Fielder level comedian, and this is like some sort of bit that I'm not. But like based on his profile picture that made him look like a former high school athlete, I didn't think that was the case. I think he was just genuinely like, oh, red flag. Okay, so I have been told that I am a sex and love addict. Like, I'm just like, what's going on?
I think that's the right answer.
Yeah. Oh, man, I hated that. I remember I was like, this is like homework. I fucking hate this. And then it's like, you do your little bio or whatever, and then you have to go through the prompts. And I'm like, because then that's how they match you. The multiple choice ones. And I'm like, this is so dumb.
Working in comedy too. Like when I'm tired going on the apps, I'm like, I don't want to try to be funny right now. I'm fucking lonely. Yeah. I don't want to tell you like a funny, like last meal I would have. I just want to hit. And I don't
last
know.
Last meal I would have is so true.
So ridiculous.
And like we've never had those conversations in 8 years. We've never talked about what last meal we're gonna have, or I don't even know if we had three kids and what their names would be. No, I don't want
that's to because we haven't been on like a first day of school in middle school where they're like, I speaker, like, do you have a sibling? Everyone go around, like, which was always my worst nightmare anyway. And I'm like, oh my god, now I'm back here.
I did go on Grindr with my friend. We were in like the middle of the woods, like in Vermont, camping sort of. And we went on Grindr. And he was like, I just want to see who's in the area. It's like a very farm-centered town. And we see like the gnarliest, like grizzliest guy. He looks like he's taking a selfie in his room, like in the dark. And I was like, you cannot see this person. I'm so sorry. I'm truly scared you're going to get killed. With love, you're going to have to stay celibate on this trip. Right.
With love.
We could get murdered any night, any Thursday night. I could disappear. So everybody just, you know, pay attention to when I was last active on my Instagram. How about that? Let's
keep checking in.
You are also raising a dog.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
We have a dog. Bugs is her name.
Oh, that's really
what
cute.
Breed are we talking?
Well, so we rescued her together 5 years ago, and it was after there was a hurricane here in Texas, and they were like, the shelters are full. We need you to take dogs.
It's when Justin Thoreau got his dog.
Yeah. And so we went to the shelter, and they were like, do you want her? She's a pug. She's real cute. Aww. And we were like, a pug? Like, that's amazing. We want a little dog. And like, a pug for like, I don't know, $50. That's a steal.
Yeah.
And we rescued her, you know, so we're good people. So we were like, yeah. And then the bitch kept growing and growing and growing. And like, not even like a year, I'm like, this is not a pug. She's fucking cute. Her paws were like the size of my hand.
And what?
Yeah, so she's a boxer for sure.
That is so funny. Bugs the boxer.
Bugs the boxer. Yeah, we're always just like, they just were telling everybody, these are all pugs. Yeah,
Chihuahua. Like, it's like a husky.
Take them. So yeah, we got scammed, but we love bugs, and it's been sweet. We have our little family, and but it's hard when we do want to travel together, where we're gonna like leave bugs. Mm-hmm. Because she's kind of like goth. She doesn't like other dogs.
Yeah.
So she's not like aggressive. She's just like, nah.
Yeah. I'm gonna do my own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard to find like some place she's comfortable. She runs my life. I'm like, whatever you want, I'll do, ma'am.
I know. Yeah. I sort of love when dogs are like that, where they're like, they see, I actually dog sit for a dog like that. And I feel like anytime a dog comes up to like sniff her on the street, her vibe is kind of like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, right. I'm not one
You're
of you.
You're going to sniff my vagina?
Like, really? Right. I watch Netflix. I sit on the couch. Like, I don't need to be like flailing my tail at you. I'm good. Like, I feel like it's so funny. I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're more one of us.
Exactly. Like, Bugs is a people for sure. More than Ben Affleck.
1,000%.
I want true romance.
Hey everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could both of you have had been in relationships where you were sort of co-having an animal? I've dated someone, I had three dogs, and I've dated someone while also having three dogs. But it was just kind of interesting because, at least for me, I'm overly like concerned with my dog's well-being. Once I told Devin that I was worried my dog was stressed because it slept all the time. And she was like, it sleeps all the time because it's a dog. And I was like, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But for instance, like when the dog will jump up into the, try to front seat of the car, you know, I was dating someone who would just push it back. And I'd be like, whoa, what are you doing right now? And it was like, no, we're not having this conversation. Like, just let her drive if she wants to drive. You don't even know if she's good at it or not. Right. She's good at everything she does.
Yes.
But she's a better driver than you.
It's so true. Yeah, my mom is going to watch Bugs. And I don't trust that woman. I just feel like, because I keep checking in with her. She's like, I know how to watch a damn dog. I watch, you know, my grandson. And I'm like, yeah, but are you going to talk to her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to like touch her? Because I just see you like, you're not even going to care that she's there because she's a monster, you know? So I don't know. I want someone, just by this conversation, I would leave my dogs with y'all.
I already want to hang out with your dog. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I know I am a good dog sitter because I feel like I intuit, like, everyone wants updates. Everyone wants, like, she did such a good thing today. You won't believe it. Like, videos. But I do. I always talk to them. I love talking to dogs because they don't say anything back and they just listen. But it is hard sometimes. Like, have you and your partner had any arguments over the parenting? Like, any differences in, like, screen time and like what the rules what are,
schools, private, public?
Well, so there's an issue on the couch because we have one couch, right? And Bugs likes to be on the couch, so she's on it right now.
Oh my god,
she's licking her vagina.
Been there.
Yeah. And like, so it's like not like a big couch, but Bugs is big. And so usually it's like her and my boyfriend on the couch and I sit on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like finding myself like resentful. I'm like, you know, my butt kind of hurts. It's numb.
It's numb.
And my boyfriend's like, we'll move Bugs from the couch. And I'm like, I am not going to do that.
I'm not going to be that person.
Right. And so I'm like campaigning for a new couch. Mm-hmm. And like couches are like millions of dollars.
Yeah, they are. Crazy. They are.
Which I'm like, when did this happen? And he's like, you know, the solution is just to, let's not let Bugs on the couch anymore. And I'm like, that's not an option.
No.
That's her couch.
Yeah.
How am I going to? She's 5 years old. It's just, she's going to be like, what the fuck? You're just throwing
What's
me
What's going on?
Right. So I would just rather buy a whole new couch.
I know.
And, so you know, get like two day jobs to pay for the couch so that we're all happy.
It's so funny when people come visit my house and like when I try to sort of have fake new rules for the dogs and they look at me like, are you fucking serious? Right. I'm like, what are they doing begging right now? That is crazy. Right. Get down. Don't
trust. Crazy.
They look at me like, what language is this?
Right. Oh yeah, my boyfriend's also against giving her people food.
Oh no.
And I'm like, she's gonna experience life the way I do. She has to know what pizza is. She loves it.
That is true. Like I felt that way dog sitting sometimes where the owners would say like, so we don't give any treats and we don't, and I was like, wait, like,
how does she
know
that she's adorable and that she's good?
Are you sure you want her, or do you think maybe it's optional for you and I can just take her home? I do think sometimes it's hard. Like I think there's a male tendency, or maybe it's the males I've chosen to spend my time around, but mm-hmm. like my family has really like kind of complicated dogs, and they have like a rescue who's like very like dog aggressive, just like fear aggression, all that stuff. So walking him is like a whole process. And I've dated multiple men who, like, when we go on the walk, are like, let me hold the leash. And I'm like, you know, it's a whole thing, you know, like, and they're like, it's fine. I think it's like, it's a dog. He's, and I'm like, listen, why do you question me? So that's been tough.
We feel the dog. We have connections with the dog. And you're just like, what? Just do the, it's whatever. Not that simple.
I'm like, do you trust yourself or me who thinks about this 24 hours? Who would you trust?
Right.
Vanessa, I wanted to know if there's anything that you would like to plug.
Oh, well, my podcast, I'm Not Busy, with Michael Falk. We do that every week. And it's fun. And we just talk about dumb stuff like J-Lo or Build-A-Bear workshops, you know, something important. Just to like, yeah, important issues. And then my album, My Birthday's Tomorrow, is on Spotify and Apple Music, or, you know, where you download stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm currently looking for a couch. Oh,
true. Okay, listeners, if you can hook us up with a couch, I will say, Vanessa, my advice is, that you did not ask for, is going on Craigslist and putting in designer names that you like. So I'll put in.
But what about in monkeypox era? Like, do you want to just get any random bozo's couch?
I didn't think of that.
Monkeypox era.
I don't think you can get it from a couch.
Okay.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can, but
But if in post, or maybe in post monkeypox world, if someday we get to live somewhere that beautiful, you can put in like Blue Dot or CB2 or West Elm into your Craigslist search bar, and a bunch of beauties come up. And sometimes they're barely used. It's one of my favorite ways to look for furniture.
That's great advice. I never thought of that. I'm always just like couch, and then it's like peed on.
$5,000.
Like somebody died on it. I'm like,
haunted couch. Wait, Vanessa, speaking of advice, would you be so kind as to leave our listeners with the best relationship advice you've received? Because you gave such great advice on Chelsea's podcast.
I guess go to therapy.
Yeah,
true.
Both parties. And I guess like try to be aware if you're, you know, putting your insecurities out there, or if they're not doing their end of the deal. It's a fine line, but you gotta do the work. I think both parties gotta do the work. And if it feels like you're the only one, then
then no.
You and Bugs, get out of there.
You, all Bugs, she'll get you out of there.
Bugs, right. I know Bugs will get you out. I know you will.
Yes. Bugs is wearing a raincoat like at your door. Give me your bag, let's go.
She's ready.
It's so dumb. Like, when you have a dog, imagining a dog doing anything human becomes the funniest piece of comedy ever.
It is my favorite comedy.
It is my favorite comedy. I literally said that my dog Grandma, she's a Chow Chow pit bull, and so I accidentally, similar to you kind of, I thought I was getting like an English bulldog, like French bulldog, and I got a guard dog, essentially. She's very friendly, but after like 15 minutes of barking at people like crazy. But I imagine her, I'm like, in her next life, I want her to be a security guard. And I just imagine the joy she would feel sitting at the security guard desk, looking at the different TV screens of footage. And I'm it would make her so happy. And I just want that for her.
Yes. That's why I love all those movies. You know, I love
Bound.
When dogs are able, Air Bud.
Snow dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just playing basketball. You know?
I remember watching Air Bud with my grandfather and my step grandfather. And he was sort of, you know, when you like accidentally get caught watching a kid's movie and you sort of like get into it. He's like this older Vietnam vet. And when Air Bud gets lost by its bad owner, but ends up with a good kid, then learns how to play football or basketball. And does well. And then the bad owner wants it back because it knows Air Bud's valuable. They go to court. And my grandfather was behind me with like a drink. And he was like, God damn it. How hard is it? You say you put up posters. You said you were looking for him. That guy didn't show up. It's your dog. And I was like, okay.
Is this even court? As a kid. Is this court even listening up to this trial about the basketball playing dog?
Please tell me these jurors aren't out of their fucking mind right now.
Dog owners have rights.
Like, come on. How complicated is this? It's like pretty complicated.
Oh my God.
That's really funny.
Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us on True Romance.
Oh my God, this was so fun. Thank
you. I'm glad.
It was such a gift. I feel like I fangirled you and then manifested being able to actually talk to you and force you to stay on a Zoom with me for 45 minutes. So
exactly our plan. That was exactly our plan.
Thank y'all.
Please catch Vanessa's podcast, I'm Not Busy, with Michael Fulk. And we will catch you next time.
Was a little love. I want true romance. It's true romance. It's so romantic. Love me, baby. Don't leave me hanging. I want true.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.